You have your Bibles this morning. Would you turn together with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, we'll be reading beginning in verse 35 this morning. Luke 12, verse 35. Let us hear together the word of the Lord. Stay dressed for action. Keep your lamps burning. Be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will dress himself for service and have them recline at table, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the second watch or in the third and finds him awake, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. You also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the word of the Lord today, and we're thankful for it. At the heart of this passage is one simple little truth. Be ready. Be dressed for action. Don't be lulled into sleep, even if the night drags on. Be ready. I suppose that there are a lot of analogies that we could have used. As I was thinking about this passage, I thought if Jesus was teaching in our day, he probably would use that commercial with the green line. Have you seen that one? It's kind of a retirement thing, and stay on the green line, don't get detoured. He would probably use some kind of analogy to say, you know, we understand that in our investment life, in our retirement life. If we want to be ready for this one day, then we've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared. We've got to spend every moment staying on track. Maybe he might use the kind of analogy that we would use if we're going on a trip. You've got to be ready. You've got to be prepared. You've got to be dressed for action. You don't just simply jump in the car. I don't think you do. You just jump in the car and head off and take off on a trip and say, you know, we'll stop it at a mall somewhere along the way when we need clothes, and we'll just continue to just enjoy buying new stuff as we go. Although, truth be told, I've got to tell you, one time we went on a trip and we left some of the suitcases at home. And so we had to do it that way. But the suitcases were packed, we just didn't get them into the car. That happens too, I guess. And I tell you what, though, it reminded us from then on out to be ready, to double check, to make sure we had everything. Maybe it's the kind of advice that we would give to a child or a student. You can't just cram for the test a couple of hours before. This really takes some investment. It really takes some commitment. It really takes some really determination to be ready to pass the test. Whatever it may be in life, whatever kind of analogy is there, the message is the same. We've got to be ready. We've got to be prepared. We've got to understand, and the gospel is so clear in this. Jesus is going to return. And he will either come at a moment when we're ready, or he'll come at a moment when we're snoozing. And I know that in many ways this isn't a real comfortable word. But it's intriguing to me that this word is spoken to the church. This isn't meant as a sense of guilt out into the world where we march up and down the street saying, hey, listen, be ready. Maybe where we knock on the door and we say, hey, do you know that if Jesus came right now, you'd go to hell? It's a sense of a call to the church. That in the midst of this time in which we're living, in which we're waiting, we must be ready. I love the analogy that Jesus uses here because it's so apt. If you knew the hour that a thief was going to come and break into your house, you'd be ready. Now, I suppose that might mean different things for different people. If you knew the hour that a thief was going to break into your house, you'd be ready by not being there. Or maybe you'd be ready by having the police called. Or maybe you'd be ready by having an arsenal around you. Go ahead, baby, make my day. I know that when we were in seminary, our home was broken into, and a lot of the stuff was stolen. And at the time, we were pastoring a church up in Oregon, Missouri, and I've told you stories about the beautiful people there before. And as I was sharing with the congregation that Sunday, after we had been, our house had been broken into, and they loaded everything into our car so that they wouldn't have to strain themselves carrying it away, and they drove away with it all. As I was telling the church about what had happened, this dear saint came up and he said, "Preacher, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll come camp out in your backyard in my camo. And I'll bring my .30-06, my .357 Magnum. And I'll bring a shotgun too. And when they try to get in your house, I'll nail them suckers." Now there was just one problem with his analogy, with his thinking. Yeah. There may have been more than one problem, to be honest with you, but at least there was one problem. The thieves had already come and gone. They had already taken everything of worth and value we had. They left the stuff because it wasn't worth having. But you would, if you knew the time. You would be prepared. The problem is in the analogy, the problem is in what Jesus is teaching us, the problem in what Luke is writing is, we don't know the time. We don't know when, we just know that. We know that Jesus is going to return. We know that the King is coming. We just don't know when. Now I want you to put yourself kind of in the shoes of Luke's audience that he's writing to. This is a number of years after Jesus has been raised from the dead. This is a number of years after the church was looking towards the eastern sky. Let me get the right. Looking towards the eastern sky, awaiting his arrival. And days turned into weeks, and weeks turned into months, and months turned into years. And Jesus still hadn't returned. And so these words of Jesus that Luke is writing have new import for the people because in their heart of hearts they'd gotten into a routine. They were living as if Jesus is going to return, but no time soon. We better get in for the long haul. And what begins to occur when that is the mentality of our life is we're not taking seriously, moment by moment, day by day, how we're living our lives because we've got plenty of time. Now fast forward that a couple of thousand years. Fast forward that into the 21st century. And we hear the words of Jesus, he's going to return soon. I wonder how God defines soon. 2,000 years, and we're still waiting. We believe with all of our hearts. I know that everybody in this room believes Jesus is going to return one day. And I know that there's a prayer on most of our hearts, let it be soon. And yet, I mean, I'm just talking honest. The reality is, most of us don't think it's going to be very soon. I mean, do you really think Jesus is going to come today? I mean, he could. Probably not. You think Jesus is going to come this week? Oh, we know he could, but probably not. Never know. Probably not, if we're really honest. Do we even think he's going to return in my lifetime? Sometime way out there in the future, Jesus is going to return. And what that creates in us in our life of faith is a complacency, a passivity, a sense of, I've got plenty of time. There's really no sense in getting all worked up about this. I mean, I know that I could get in a car wreck tomorrow, but I'm going to drive really carefully. And you know, I know that there are some things in my life that I probably need to deal with, but I've got time. And the word of Jesus to the church is, you can't live that way. That's a very dangerous way in which to live. That's a very unproductive way in which to live. Because when Christ comes and we're caught, we want to be caught, being ready, rather than caught by surprise. And the warning that is here is a warning for all of us that by grace, we need to live in a perpetual state as if this is the moment. This is the day that Jesus returns. Now, how do you do that? I mean, it's one thing to say that's what we ought to do. It's another thing to say, how do you do that? Well, I have a cute little exercise that I'll throw out at you, and you tell me what you think. Imagine. Now, I'm not saying that this is true. I don't want anybody to leave here and say, you know, Pastor Dave is a false prophet. We need to, you know, stone him and then burn him at the stake. Okay? Please don't do that. I'm not saying that this is true. I'm just saying, imagine it could be true. Imagine that you knew, I know the scripture says no one knows the day or the hour, okay, I understand that, but this is just an exercise. Imagine that you knew that Jesus was going to return this Thursday at 5:14 p.m., okay? Let's just imagine that we knew that God had given us that message and that we knew that for certain. Now imagine what the next few days would look like for you. Imagine about the kinds of things that your life would be about. I mean, I don't know that there would be drastic changes. I don't know that there would be huge changes. For some people, no doubt there would be, but I think for all of us, there would be some changes. There would be some things that we would begin to reevaluate, some things that we would begin to think through differently, some ways in which that we would begin to think about life, to live our life. I mean, I don't know for certain, but I imagine that if really the whole world knew that Jesus was going to come back at Thursday at 5:14 p.m., I imagine TV shows would be having a hard time getting anybody watching. Or at least there's probably some TV shows people wouldn't be watching anymore. I imagine that families would get really busy about the business of let's get in God's Word together. I imagine that there's some things in our lives that we've been playing around with for a while, trying to convince God, you know, I know that you said it's sin, but I really have a pretty good argument here that this really isn't sin, and could we talk about this? That no longer would we have a desire to talk to God about what He said. We would just get about the business of saying, God, what it is you say, I believe in, I confess that this is sin, would you forgive me by the blood of Christ? I mean, a lot of things would just come into clear focus. I bet we'd be on the phone this afternoon saying, this argument we've had going on for 15 years has gone on too long. It's time we're reconciled because that was silly. I imagine there are some people that we would be lovingly in their face wanting to share the gospel with. I don't know, you could probably take that analogy out and just kind of play with it. As a matter of fact, it might even be fun to just kind of, as a spiritual exercise, to just say, you know what, I'm going to live this week as if I really did know that Jesus was going to return Thursday at 5:14 p.m. and begin to watch the ways in which our life begin to take on a different dynamic and a different shape. That's all Jesus is saying in this passage. It's not somehow this kind of thing that we're constantly walking around scared to death. It's not this kind of thing where we're constantly walking around going, did Jesus come and I miss it? Nobody's in the house. Maybe the rapture happened. It's not that at all. What he's attempting to say is that we live our life as if today's the day. And that begins to inform a lot of things that are difficult theological questions in our mind. Suddenly, they're really, really clear. Be ready. Have your lamps lit. Be ready for action. I do think it functions in a way, this teaching. I think it functions in a way of motivation for us. I think it functions in a way that it really brings some things into focus. But I'll tell you, you begin to apply this truth from Luke 11 to different areas of your life, and things get a whole lot simpler. I got an email yesterday that didn't leave me happy. You ever got an email like that? Now let me be clear to say, it was nobody in the church. Nobody had sent me an email. It was from another venue. But what was in the email, I wasn't pleased with. I didn't like what was being said. I didn't like the tone that it was being said in. I didn't like the words that were used. Now, I'm probably the only one that does this, but I started reading between the lines. Yeah. What did they really mean by this? You know, you could take it just innocently that they were simply using words and that those words weren't maybe used as carefully because maybe they didn't sit down and spend 3 or 4 hours drafting this email. Maybe they just sit down and typed out some words really quick. You know, you could give the benefit of the doubt, but if that's not really what happened, if they really thought through every one of these words and the way they were put together and the ways that they could be interpreted several different ways, what did they really mean? Am I the only one that does that? Okay, we all don't know what I'm talking about, so you'll just have to look at me and go, oh, poor Annette. She has to live with that. I'll tell you what, how upset I was about it. I didn't even say anything to Annette about it. But inside, I was boiling. And I was to the point of boiling that I was going to give them a piece of my mind. Now, I recognize I don't have any leftovers that I can be passing out like that. And I've also learned through the years that sometimes it's best to sleep on something before you start responding to something. And I woke up about 4:30 this morning. And I was thinking about that email, but I was also thinking about what we were going to be talking about this morning. And I asked myself a very interesting question. I'm not even sure I asked myself that. I think it's one of those things where the Holy Spirit asks you, you know. And I asked myself the question, how would you feel about this if you knew Jesus was going to come back Thursday at 5:14 p.m.? You know what the answer was? I could care less. I mean, if that's the case, then what am I worried about something silly like this about? You see what Jesus is saying? You begin to plug circumstances and situations and questions and issues and all of this stuff in your life through this prism, through this sieve, through this lens of be ready. And life takes on a very different dimension. Priorities are different. What makes you angry is totally different. What matters is different. But you say, Dave, it's all a moot point. Because we don't know if he's coming back Thursday at 5:14 p.m. That's not the point. The word of the Lord today is live as if he were. What does that old song say? And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. I was thinking about, I don't even know if any of you have ever heard this song before, and don't worry, I'm not throwing you a curveball and saying, could you sing this? I'm going to sing it as a solo. Not that either. I love y'all way too much to do that to you. It's an old song that we used to sing when I was a kid. Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day? And I think the intent, or at least the way that it was done, was to scare you right next to death. I don't think that's what Jesus is trying to do. But I think the words of the song he approves of. I think if we spent 30 seconds, that's a long time to sit silently. And just brushed over some areas of our lives, some relationships, some choices, some stuff that's going on. And we just simply said, am I ready here? Am I prepared here? Do I want to get caught in this way in my life? The answer that we receive might not be altogether comfortable. But here's the good news. It's a warning so that we can be ready. Kind of dovetailing to this, in Sunday school this morning, we talked about judgment. And we were talking about that, and there was a comment made, and I said, you know, I do think this is good news. If I'm driving down a dark road at night, one of them curvy roads, you know, with trees hanging over and you can't hardly see your hand in front of your face, and there's a sign that says, bridge out ahead, I appreciate that. I'd much rather find that out now than go buzzing around a corner to find no bridge where one used to be. That's good news. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. Because did you notice what he said? The language of this really does, I think in one sense, blow me away. In another sense, it's kind of exciting. Because what you're anticipating him to say is that when the master of the house comes home and he finds you awake at, you know, the third watch, whatever time that is, way up late into the night, you would expect him to say he would be happy with you so you could set the table for him and serve him. But you notice what it says? If he finds us ready, he will have us recline at the table. And he will serve us. Now, let me take that out just a couple of steps. Hopefully not further than is appropriate. I truly do believe that that is true in the ultimate sense. When Christ returns, the Scripture says, when he brings us to himself, he has set a table like you wouldn't believe that he has prepared for you. Does that just blow anybody else away besides me? I think he ought to be the one sitting at the table and me serving. But that's not what the Scripture says. He's going to serve us at this table that he's created for us. But let me take that a couple steps further. I don't believe that's just a point in future reality. I believe that there is a reality in this moment, even as we live our life in constant readiness before him, as our hearts are there to serve him. He comes by his grace and serves us with strength and wisdom and guidance and hope in the midst of the journey. Be ready. It's incredible eternal benefits I found in my life there's incredible, I mean absolutely freeing benefits right now. Even at 4:30 in the morning, when you discover what I've been tossing and turning about, doesn't matter, hill of beans. Heavenly Father, there are passages of Scripture that just kind of, I guess, knock us for a loop a little bit. We're expecting some advice on how we can manage our lives better, be more successful, make more money, have a better marriage, whatever it may be. And we find something that seems a little out of left field. We find this call that even after 2,000 years of waiting, Jesus is saying to us, be ready, always prepared. Don't slack up. Don't go to sleep. Don't become lax. And Father, when we begin to think about that in practical terms in our lives, we begin to hear and we begin to see some things maybe a little bit differently. We begin to see some priorities that need to be readjusted. We begin to see maybe some actions that maybe aren't technically sin, but they're sure not useful. We begin to see some things that we put on the back burner that need to be taken care of. In short, we begin to live this life of faith in which we're being transformed from glory to glory right now. So Lord, I just pray that an uncomfortable word, that an awkward word, that a reminder or maybe even a warning to our heart, I just pray today that we might just receive it as the glad, gleeful, good news tiding of our Savior that loves us so much, that He longs to have us recline at a table that He may serve us in a kingdom that is without end. We know that's what You want for our hearts. We know You're not trying to scare us. We know You're not trying to bully us or intimidate us. We know You're trying to show us that we need to get in step in every area of our life with You. And so, Heavenly Father, today I just pray that You might speak to us each one individually. Maybe You're going to show us some things we need to pray about. Maybe You're going to show us some things we need to change. Maybe You're going to show us some phone calls we need to make, some things we need to get more serious about. But Father, I pray that You would grant us the grace, not just for the next few days or for the next few hours, but You would grant us the grace to live in that state of mind that we say today might be the day. This might be the hour. I want to be ready when that trumpet sounds. I want to be caught being faithful. For it's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. I would invite you this morning to receive God's blessing upon your heart and life. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance and give you peace. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen.